I invite your attention to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 17. Greetings also in Jesus' name. It's good to see each of you in God's house. What a blessing to be here. Brother Tom had my thoughts really flying during Sunday school, a good lesson, and my mind went to 1 Corinthians 15. Some of those verses there talk about the last trump. And at the last trump, the corruptible will be changed to incorruptible, and the mortal will put on immortality. You know, at that point, there will be no regrets. At that point, there will be no wanting to even experience anything else. When we see Jesus, the Bible says we shall be as he is. We can't even comprehend that in this mortal, in this body that cannot see heaven. This body that cannot experience the glories of God, but it needs to be changed. So bright it will be there, so glorious. Hallelujah. The Christian has everything. Now and in the future. Don't ever try to substitute the miseries of Satan that he tries to glorify, but they're rotten and they perish. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We want to come before the Lord in prayer. All who are able, let's kneel.
The message that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning is in the form of a question: ashamed of the gospel? The text was read in our opening, Romans 1, 16. Paul's words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What is the gospel of Christ, and do you believe it? I once heard a definition of believe that I never forgot. We only truly believe what moves us to action. When applied to our text, we would have to say a true Christian believes the gospel of Christ and is not ashamed to let others know what it is. The word gospel is a term that simply means good news. In short, the gospel is the sum total of the saving truth that God has communicated to lost humanity as revealed in Christ and the Scriptures. In a day of depressing headlines and uncertainty all around us, good news is refreshing. Yet the good news that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins and that we experience salvation by confessing our sins and believing in Him and living for Him, that good news is not readily welcomed by the unsaved culture around us. Back in March of this year, I was invited to a business-type dinner at a restaurant in York. There were eight of us at the table, and by simple observation alone, it was apparent that all there would not be the type to give a prayer of thanks before the meal. Yet, I knew there were five of us present who made a profession of Jesus Christ. So when the food was brought out, some started eating, and I waited, somewhat curious, if there would be prayer requested. Some were already digging in, and when one of the men at the table called on another for prayer, it was almost amusing to see the forks go back down as an audible prayer was offered. I gained a degree of respect for the one who took the initiative to request that which is not the normal custom in a public place. The Apostle Paul was a man who was excited about, he was motivated by a gospel that dramatically changed his life. His mission grew out of that transformation, and soon he was proclaiming with fervor the gospel of Christ. In many places, it was not a popular message. Yet Paul was not ashamed of it, not in the least. This verse, Romans 1:16, along with verse 17, expresses the theme of the book of Romans, which Paul then proceeds to expand and explain throughout the epistle. The theme of what is presented in this verse has the capacity to transform lives through the miraculous power of God. A person's time on earth and all of eternity is completely altered by accepting and believing in this truth. In a statement of personal testimony, Paul stated he was not ashamed of the gospel. He did not feel shame. He did not feel guilt. He was not embarrassed. In other words, he was willing to proclaim a life purpose for which he had a passion. It meant the world to him. And those in the world were the reason he proclaimed the gospel. Certainly, he would not have given his energies and even his very life for a cause that would have caused him embarrassment. The gospel held a primary position in his life priorities that far outweighed the desire of man's approval, his own popularity, or the comforts of life. We can read account after account in the Bible of how Paul's push to proclaim an unpopular gospel produced problems. But did the negative results dampen his spirits or diminish his efforts? Here are some questions I'd like for us to ponder. If Paul had been inclined to live his Christian life with the same priorities as many Christians do in America, do you think he would have been thrown in a prison in Philippi and run out of Thessalonica? Do you think Paul would have been scorned in Athens or thought to be a fool in Corinth? Do you think he would have been labeled a blasphemer and a lawbreaker in Jerusalem or stoned and left for dead at Lystra? We can understand why Paul encountered all this opposition when we read his life mission in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus was not only Paul's Savior, he was the controller. He was the Lord of his life. Here's another question that I pondered as well. If Paul had the same values that I do regarding man's approval, the comforts of life, or the fear of opposition from others, could he have said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," with such confident fervor and zeal? Paul was well aware of the fact that Rome would not necessarily be gospel friendly. He knew that Christians there had already experienced persecution. Rome, the capital city of the empire, was steeped in immorality and paganism. He knew that most Romans would not likely accept his message. Did that make a difference? Did it dampen his determination to fulfill the calling of God? Paul was boldly eager to go there for his master's sake and for the sake of the people. Not ashamed. Paul certainly had a life priority that any and every believer should strive to obtain and develop. It seems Paul was excited and he was impelled by the privilege of proclaiming gospel truth wherever he went, regardless of the consequences. Do we ever struggle with being ashamed of sharing the gospel? Ashamed of Christ? Yesterday I was at a reception where the MC was circulating among the tables with a microphone and asking the guests questions. I knew his occupation and I decided to ask him a question. And so I said, "Are you an electrician?" And his answer was, "No. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I work as an electrician." My response was, "That's great. Is that why you're so wired?" Later, after the meal, He told me that he was always looking for opportunities to talk about Jesus and give his testimony. His response to me in my question to him is one of the ways he uses in conversation with those he meets day by day. Why is it difficult to talk about Jesus when we are out in the world? Or is it just me? If we are ashamed to speak his name, we need to consider Mark 8:38, where Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Isaac Watts expresses it well in the hymn he wrote, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name?" I need to answer that question in my own heart, and you need to answer that question in your heart. Are there times when I have opportunity to speak for Christ, and because of delay, allow the moments to slip by until the opportunity vanishes? Why is that the case? We know the gospel is not popular, maybe even repulsive to the unsaved person. The culture in which we live is dominated by a system of belief that is counter to the gospel message. And so the fear of man is undoubtedly the greatest snare in telling others about the Christ we serve and what he has done for us and what he can do for them. Yet, the gospel is the only power on earth that is capable of saving the souls of men and women, boys and girls. What then should be the driving force in our lives? Paul's supreme passion in his life was to see that men and women came to Christ. He sacrificed personal comfort, popularity, and reputation. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We could conceivably have everything else perfectly in place, doctrinally speaking. And if we lack in this one area, is it just a minor failure, or could it completely negate our testimony? Have I fallen for a comfortable brand of Christianity? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Do I have a Christian lifestyle that is saturated with my own objectives, pursuits, and delights to the extent that my zeal for promoting the gospel is crowded out with the cares of this life? Work is necessary. In fact, it's commanded. Earning and using money wisely as part of Christian stewardship. Eating and enjoying the food God has provided as part of our Creator's design. Maintaining family relationships and delighting in the times together is consistent with God's intent. Taking time out of life's routine to relax and renew our perspective is recommended. All these things are good and proper. But they can quickly become the cares of this world that choke out the gospel if we are not alert and on our guard. The bottom line is this. Are all these good things that we enjoy the means or the end? If they are the means, we have a higher goal. And these things are all incorporated in the thrust to reach that goal. If they are the end, then they are simply our reason for living. And our life is focused primarily on these things. And we will not be content. We will not be fulfilled. Keep in mind the one type of soil that was overgrown with thorns in Christ's parable. The soil is symbolic of certain believers who received the word. There was initial growth, but that growth became stunted. Can you picture the scene? The seed is planted in the corner of a field or in a garden, and for one reason or another, the weeds take over. The young plants grow and they have life, but they are soon bleached, dwarfed, and withered. They lack the green, lush color of a thriving, healthy plant. Even if those plants get just enough light and moisture to maintain life, do they ever produce significant fruit? No. The little bit of light, moisture, and nutrients available is used entirely just to stay alive. Jesus, in Matthew 33:22, says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Notice the result of growing in this type of environment. No fruit was produced. Christ did not say the plant died or dried up and withered away, although that could have happened. The seeds and plants in the other types of soil were devoured or withered away, signifying the death of the plant or the seed. The point Christ made in this scripture is that the believer represented by the thorny soil grew plants that were unproductive. There was no fruit. A healthy plant is going to produce fruit in kind. If wheat produces more wheat, shouldn't believers produce more believers? In the parable, the thorn-infested soil represents a heart preoccupied with the cares of this life and taken up with the abundant lifestyle, unaware that he or she has been deceived by the good life that they seek to enjoy. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The more I think about it, I realize that I can't say with confidence that the thorny soil doesn't have any application at all to my life. If I at times allow myself and my heart's desires to slip into the state of becoming thorn infested, then I need to reevaluate my heart's desires and my life's priorities. But you know, the good news is that weeds can be pulled out before their roots become so entwined. then the sunlight and the moisture and the nutrients can renew vital energy to our spiritual lives. If the focus in life is centered on the temporal, then our focus on Christ will be dim. But if our focus is centered on Christ, the temporal pursuits will not dominate our lifestyle. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3 give this admonition: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We are encouraged in these verses to look to Jesus, to consider what he endured as a way of keeping the proper focus in life. He is the author of our faith. Paul, words again, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. To live by faith, we need to focus on the author of faith. To not be ashamed of the gospel, we need to focus on the provider of the gospel message. The gospel is the power of God. The Greek word for power is the word from which we get our English word dynamite. The gospel manifests the omnipotence of God, the only power sufficient to save men from their sins. Surely the greatest manifestation of God's power is that of bringing someone to salvation, of transforming their nature, giving them new life that is eternal. Salvation through Christ is as if we were God's powerful hand, reaching down and lifting men up from the hopeless destruction of sin and bondage. The basic term behind salvation, or the basic idea, is that of deliverance or rescue. It takes the power of God to rescue people from the ultimate penalty of sin, which is spiritual death that extends into the tormented, eternal separation from God in the flames of hell. It's nothing short of a mighty miracle of God to take a vile sinner and transform him into a new creation in Christ. Where hatred once reigned, the love of God is the ruling force. People with sinful habits that could not be broken experience blessed freedom in Christ. Drunkards change from wife-beating, overbearing brutes into gentle and loving husbands. Boys and girls who experience this life-changing power through Christ come to salvation at an early age and are spared the horrible and often grievous consequences of sin. Why should we be ashamed of such a gospel? It is the only way to heaven. It is the power of God unto salvation. Jeremiah 13:23 asks the rhetorical question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to do evil. It is not within man's power to change his own nature. his own heart. Only God has the power to change a man's heart. Salvation has no national, racial, or ethnic barrier, but is given to every person who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Telling others of the only thing that really matters in life should become a priority of supreme importance in the believer's life. Paul was not ashamed of something so powerfully transforming. Shouldn't telling others of the gospel message be a routine outflow of our hearts, not a forced or canned presentation? A presentation that the listener fails to see illustrated in our daily life. In Luke 6:45, we read, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If the treasures of Christ in our heart are not choked out with the profusion of the world, then it will be a natural response to speak of Christ, and we will not be ashamed of his gospel. Will it ever be easy? No. God didn't say it was. Paul gave his message to those in Corinth in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Will it always be received? No. Will we meet with severe opposition at times? Yes. But when we do, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Fritz Kreisler, who lived from 1875 to 1962, was a world-famous violinist and earned a fortune with his concerts and compositions. But he generously gave most of his money away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he didn't have enough money to buy it. Later, having saved enough money, must have been the days before credit cards, to make the purchase, he returned to the seller, hoping to buy the beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin. But the collector told him that he valued his prized possession and that he did not want to sell it. Obviously disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. And so he asked, "Could I play the instrument once more before it is consigned to silence?" And the collector gave him permission. The great violinist filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. And this is what he said, "I have no right to keep that to myself." He exclaimed, "It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it into the world and let people hear it." And so the appeal this morning is this: the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I have no right to keep it to myself. It must be taken to the world so that people can hear it.
what might be some of the reasons why we would not share the gospel. Perhaps we look at our past and we say, well, in my past, I have many things to be ashamed of. And shame brings fear, inadequacy, and also paralyzes us. But you know, Paul wrote these words. Did he have anything to be ashamed of in his past? Scripture would tell us that for 17 years he didn't go up to Jerusalem and he wasn't known by face. Most likely, that was because either he or the church at Jerusalem was not ready to face each other because of the past. But Paul was able to put that behind him because of the power of God unto salvation. And eventually, they met. I think of a young coworker where I work. I would say, considered one of the rising stars of our company. He made a decision to go and invest his future life with troubled youth. He called me one night to share that with me. Of course, it brought back memories of when I tried to share with the company while we were going to Ukraine. You get mixed reactions. You have some folks who are believers or have been raised around believers and they understand. And you have other people who just shake their head and can't understand why you would give up so much. But we praise the Lord that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and it moves people to do things that otherwise they never would do. Let's stand for prayer.